It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast, which is back after a hiatus of quite epic proportions, not as epic as the transfer window of windows Chelsea have been having, but we have taken our time on that. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal on the other side. Welcome, Vishal.
Hello, guys. What's happening?
So we should mention that part of the hiatus was Vishal just not feeling it enough for the game.
Sense in the game again.
Because of our theme of finding sense in the game of football, which kind of had gotten away, but I guess probably the Euros to an extent and the start of the Premier League season maybe has brought that back a little, Vishal, because the world seems to be going along in terms of expected lines, but there are still sort of the unexpected to be picked out of there. So we will dive right into our usually preferred hunting ground, which is the Premier League. Although, honestly, if you're looking for sense, I think you could do worse than pick up the Premier League, because you could be looking at La Liga, where Barcelona are not able to register one of their top players to begin the job. And
I think of focus as much as possible.
And of course, we'll need our Serie A correspondent back onto the pod to make sense of what's going on there. Well, of course, Juventus have a new manager and some interesting happenings. But we'll get back to the Serie A and things Calcio later on. But in our sister podcast, Calcio Calzone, maybe. But for now, we're back onto Soccer Sense. So, Vishal, we are recording this right after the Sunday where we saw Liverpool make a rather statement win, given the kind of transfer window they've had so far, in terms of thumping Manchester United at Old Trafford again in the recent era. Mohamed Salah scoring against United at Old Trafford again in the recent era.
That's like Monday, it always happens. It always comes.
And for Casemiro putting in an unfortunate performance again in the recent era. And Erik ten Hag coming up with, a few baffling explanations of what went wrong for United. And I should mention...
Yeah, much better than management at this point. It's all bad.
So again, in this current era. So let's start from there, because rest of the league has been going mostly as per the narrative. Arsenal still remain major contenders. Yep. A lot of people obviously knew that City were kind of strengthened. And Erling Haaland comes in and scores a hat-trick, just to remind everybody that what's going on there, and they're perfect. They're perfect through three games. But the one bit of surprising thing, and that's why we have picked this game as our peg in terms of talking about sense early in the season. We've always maintained no Soccer Sense. This is like our 11th season, and we have always maintained that the point with most leagues remains that you can't really read too much into it very early on. But about three games in, first international break, you could kind of start making some sense of things. So, Vishal, your reading on the fact that Liverpool, despite not having a great window, took a pretty solid team and was Arne Slot's first big test. And they came out in flying colours in a game where, United had started rather brightly. So, I mean, what is going on at Manchester United?
Starting with Liverpool's transfer window, I think, as you mentioned, right, very little action, but I think that comes from a manager who seems to be very clear about the players that they have, the strengths that they possess, and therefore how to activate them. Because they've changed their style of football, not significantly, but smartly. the players seem to be thriving in the system. The football, if possible at all, has gotten better because the ball movement is far crisper, and they're picking and choosing when they want to put pressure as well. So it's quite pleasant to watch the team and the manager both settle in as well as they're doing it, because you after somebody as great as Klopp, you are like everybody expected a lull before the storm rose again, right? And so great to see that. With United, I think, where do we start? It's the same, right? It's the same. It's the deeper you dive into this, sure, the administration has been poor, but let's really take a step back, right? The administration might be poor, the purchases might be poor, but what's really the problem is the system and the football in itself, right? And the deeper you dive into this, all you need to do is look at Ten Hag's season. And I was listening to this interview where Paul Scholes was talking about what is wrong with United. And he rightly pointed this out, where what he said was the problem with United is every time they move forward, they think they're going to score a goal. And that simply means they overcome it. Everybody is out of position. The midfield opens up, the defense opens up. And you can look at that through yesterday, right? Casemiro made a bad pass, but I think what Bruno Fernandes said was spot on, right? It's not so much a mistake as much as Casemiro trying to take a chance and make the team move forward. It's a mindset. It's the chance. It's the way that they play. But the bigger problem was where Dalot was when that pass was played, right? He was already close to the United penalty box, for God's sake. What he was doing there, nobody knows. And similarly, the second goal, again, the post was completely open. Like, it's just easy. It's just effortless almost, because the team has no shape, has no identity. There's no real style of football that they have. Sure, they might bring in as many players as possible. You might put Ugarte into the lineup next week or the week after or whenever you want to, when they're back after the international break. But it's the system that's broken. And I'm generally pro-manager. I'm generally pro-patience with the manager. But with 3 years with Ten Hag, the two large problems I'm seeing is, one, he's for some strange reason trying to recreate an Ajax team. Where he's trying to bring all his players who played under that Ajax team into this system and play different time, different context, different situation, and therefore trying to recreate that here just makes absolutely no sense. Two, he genuinely lacks a system. As much as he'd like to claim that he's won major trophies and he's beaten major teams and has got the credential for it, I am not necessarily sure that this makes too much sense. So yeah, United have some real deep thinking to do, because they have a good set of players. I wouldn't say great. I think it's a mindset issue with the players as well. There's an attitude issue there. But overall, there needs to be a step back before they take 2 or 10 or 5 steps forward, where they really need to assess where they are and where they stand before they really figure out what next for them.
And interestingly, because you mentioned let's take a step back before they take the steps forward, I think that's kind of the problem with their build-up play as well, that the whole thing that you described about them trying to turn every attacking move into a potential goal and probably ending up over-committing as a result, because we saw the same thing yesterday, like you said. So with Ten Hag, obviously, potentially United missed that window or the possible move in the summer of, let's say, having him removed and getting somebody else. And like somebody jokingly pointed out that it was all part of Klopp's master plan to tank that FA Cup semi-final right at the end. Or rather, was it the quarter-final right at the end to let United through. And like somebody immediately reminded that, and United would go ahead and almost lost the semi-final against a championship side. Which brings us back to the length of the season, that would these players, like you say, in terms of the lack of a system, what is the next go-to option to try and salvage the season from here? Because there are two risks. One is, of course, you want to have a good season and potentially look at Champions League qualification and so on, and staying in the hunt in terms of being out there in terms of the trophies. The title charge probably is too much of a stretch. So how do you keep yourself into the hunt for long enough and not let this melt away into another season, which sort of, you know, pushes United back?
Oh, I think United need to figure a way out for the players and the team to really love the game again, right? And as vague as that may sound, like our best players or our best chances of be doing well are currently just dispassionate and disengaged with the club. As much as people are going after somebody like a Rashford, what people aren't understanding is United have been using and abusing the player, his skill, his talent for the time he was 18, 19, and he's now 27. That's 10 years of carrying this football club for all practical purposes because there has not been a more consistent player, at least on the starting 11, right? The same is going to happen to somebody like a Kobbie Mainoo. Like, as much as hyped as we are with him, we are setting up a young kid for failure, right? Because what are we doing? We are putting him in a team that's not ready. We are putting him in situations that he's not ready. As talented as he may be, he's going to get outclassed, outthought, and out-experienced more often than not. And that's not going to do too much good for the player in the long term, right? And that's the same thing that's happened to a bunch of players. Look at somebody like a Sancho. As much as people want to go at him as well, he seemed to be really crap at United, but 6 months in Dortmund seemed to be amazing. And there are tell signs for a bunch of things, right? And so what United really need to do is they really, really need to figure out how to become a team again, how to really bring a manager or a system that allows this team to enjoy the game, and more importantly, and more importantly, play some football again. And that's the key, that's the focus, and that's really what they need to focus on. I think they need to first, again, they're stepping back might be the fact that they deprioritize on trophies, they deprioritize on Champions League position, they deprioritize on all things success in the short term and focus on rebuilding United the club. Because if you really think about somebody, Liverpool's a great example, right? What did Liverpool do when they came with Klopp? The first 2 years, they basically, yes, Klopp was successful because Klopp was successful, but when they finished eighth or ninth in his first season, they didn't really complain. They knew what the larger vision was. And more importantly, the interesting part is this particular transition, right? New manager, but the first thing that most new managers come and do is change the club, change the players, bring in a bunch of new players, change philosophy. Has not happened, and that's key, right? And that's transition planning, that's change planning. All of us sit in the corporate and really talk about it. It seems to be planned quite well in Liverpool. So that's really what United really need to sit back and think about at this point in time, because pumping in money is not the answer. As much as you want to get, you can bring in as many players as you want, but if the club lacks a certain ethos and identity at this point in time, nothing really is going to land.
And speaking of a team that does not have to worry about getting everybody to focus back on football and enjoying their game, and even if they are doing it like a machine, and that would be Manchester City. So I mean, these contrasts, we have obviously lived with it for more than half a decade now of the Pep Guardiola era, and we have seen what has happened there, that every season they're coming back and doing, and we've talked a lot about on this podcast about how defending the title is always kind of more difficult than actually winning the title. And Pep's done it like now, what, four times?
For the
Which is
idea.
which is quite incredible if you come to think of it. So and once again, obviously there are questions about City's own things such as financial impropriety and so on, which are issues that might be gotten into because there is a hearing which is going to happen in just a little bit in terms of their in terms of charges they're facing. But even without that specter, you're looking at a team that somehow is able to turn up every season despite what seems to be so much upheaval and so on, and while the other teams just are not able to copy their template. So shortest possible answer, Vishal, of what is Pep able to do? Like, what is his secret sauce, other than obviously the more lazy analysis of saying that, oh, he's just got like unlimited amounts of money to tap into?
So, see, unlimited amounts of money could also lead to a Chelsea, right? But I think what Pep is doing, simply put, is right culture, right attitude, identifying the right players, and getting the entire bunch to buy into the system. And that's simply it. Because even after he leaves, the mindset is there, the culture is being defined, and that's really how Man City are going to go forward. And that's simply the answer to why Man City are doing so well, because money is just a means to the end, it's not the end in itself. So
And one other critical aspect there in terms of basically talking about getting the players to buy into your system and enjoying the game. Like, these are things we often forget, right? At the highest level, at elite level, a lot of people talk football at a lot of different places, but everybody tends to forget that eventually these are people doing people's jobs, which is
Yeah.
why the people in the people's jobs part is also important, which probably is where some of these other clubs are lacking, which brings us to what the table is looking like, Vishal, and we are kind of trying to find who are the teams that will be sort of the contenders here. So do you see this as a season where we are going to have a multi-horse title race again, like we had for some time last season before it kind of fizzled out in the end?
I think City are going to win again, because at some point I think Arsenal and Liverpool will simply fall off because they don't have that one striker or one player who's going to fetch them 30, 40 goals this year, unless they find it somehow. Their sources of goals and source of goals is just too many, and that also depends on form. I think no matter how bad Haaland is going to play or what, he's going to give you 35, 40 goals, and that's simply the difference, right? Because he's giving you 7 goals in 3 games, so. It's only going to keep going up from here. And that's really why City, after possibly by 30, 30, 32, 33 games, is when they will wrap it up. And yeah, it's going to be City. It's going to be close till then, but I think City in the end brings it home comfortably.
Well, there you are. We might as well stop doing the podcast now in terms of the title race and focus on other things. But Vishal, again, there is also talk during sort of some of the matches, the Euros, and that's an issue I wanted to kind of touch upon, which is your own experience with sort of falling in and out of love with the game and watching the game, and people who are looking at games featuring teams like Turkey, Georgia, and all that during the Euros, and the end-to-end stuff, and some of the more free-flowing football, you could say, or free-wheeling football, which was bringing in wins and a lot of interesting moves and goals and so on. And people said, oh, this is joyous football as compared to the kind of machine-driven football we are seeing in the league. So a bigger take on that, do you think we're going to get stuck into that era, or are the leagues generally ripe for some sort of change in that mindset?
See, I think the direction that the game is going is one direction only, and that's of as my play as much as possible, as much of tickets as possible, as much as broadcasting as possible, as much as money as possible, right? And it's also making the game inaccessible to a large set of the masses, which is against the ethos of why football was started and founded and played in those to begin with, right? Which is why if you see the joy that all of us saw from the smaller teams is the fact that they played open football. Most of these players playing in smaller divisions, smaller clubs, coming back, coming together, and actually gave the big teams with fat paychecks a good run for their money, right? Sure, at some point in time their wheels will fall off, but that part remains the joy of the game, and that's really what's happened to me as well, right? I actually spent more time watching ISL the last 2 years than I actually watched the Premier League or any other league, for example, right? Because I just needed to feel a connect again, and I thought, okay, let's go local and let's find something more local to really to bring back this interest in the game, and it kind of happened. But the top clubs with American ownership pouring in, with a World Cup coming in America, with all of that happening, I don't see the direction of football changing too much. There is going to be more and more focus on profit. There is going to be more and more funds coming in. And now, of course, with the Middle Eastern clubs becoming trump cards, I don't see the game changing too much. I don't see the style changing too much. And the scary part is a league like the French league with almost 3 days to start of the league had no broadcast partner, and that's really scary, and that's really what the authorities need to sit back and think about, because you are basically telling everybody to watch one part of football and ignore the rest of it, and that's scary for at an overall
Yeah,
development level.
it's sort of the Marvel Cinematic Universe effect on cinema, isn't it? That
Yeah,
everybody
it's really.
is trying to do the same thing. For what it is worth, if we look at the Premier League table now, and I know that we don't read too much into early trends, but obviously the unbeaten teams are some of the usual suspects and the biggest spenders, your Newcastle, Arsenal, Liverpool, and Man City. But sort of just a reminder that there is a Brighton, a Bournemouth, and a Nottingham Forest who are the other three remaining unbeaten clubs still. So maybe we read into that what you will. And of course, we'll be bringing the analysis of all of that and see if we can find some joy in football as well as this season progresses. Or maybe we should go watch some of the chaos in Serie A just to ground us back
Sounds like a great idea,
onto earth. So that's how we will be going about it. In the meantime, you can find us on at SenSoccer on Twitter or follow us on any of the podcast platforms. And me and Vishal will be back. We're talking about a little more sense in this game that we love so much. And hopefully, we can bring you back more joyous tales to tell other than the incompetence of Manchester United or the extravagance of a Manchester City. All right, so that is all the time we have this week. Let's reconvene after the international break, Vishal, and hopefully you will be able to change that display name
Yes.
of yours on the Zoom that you're recording. It just says Eric Ten Hag.
Hopefully, I'm not counting on it, but yeah, hopefully.
And it's amazing, Vishal, that since you've started this pod, you started with the sign off of Pray for United. The prayers have
I'm more like
continued.
I'm at more pray for football now because
Okay.
I'm older. All of these things.
And so is our podcast. So we will see you the week after the international break with the second episode. Meanwhile, if you have any soccer sense questions or anything that you want us to talk about, let us know and we shall cover it on the podcast. This is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
Pray for football.
See you guys next time.
You guys.